You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio.
My failure. My divorce.
I felt totally bamboozled.
And I thought, this has to end. I can't do this anymore.
And now a story of failure from Failure Lab in Grand Rapids. Here's Ellie Rogers.
Hello, I'm Ellie. I'm fairly new to West Michigan, and I'm kind of thinking about whether or not this was the best way to make my debut. But it's too late to go back, so. I don't know if life can ever prepare you to start from scratch, all alone, well into adulthood, with not much more than a Dyson. What did I do wrong? What could have I done differently? These are questions most of us probably ask ourselves before we go to bed at night. But coming here is much more daunting of a process. On one hand, if I'm too serious, you're all going to feel like you're stuck in the middle of some sort of 12-step program. But if I'm flippant, then we miss out on one of life's most teachable moments, failure. My teachable moment, my failure, is my divorce. I've had a lot of successes in my life. I've overcome a lot of hardships. I have a kick-ass credit score and no criminal record. But my divorce is one mess that I can't clean up. Not for myself, not for my ex, not for our friends and family. But most importantly, I haven't been able to clean it up for my daughter. My daughter is adorable. She's smart and compassionate and fun. She sings in the shower, and she hums when she plays. And I love being her mom and all my mom idiosyncrasies that go along with it. I'm notoriously neurotic about everything that she eats. Before anyone comes over to my house, we have a pre-planning session. I let them know what world of make-believe they'll be entering, and they always comply. Every word that comes out of my mouth is meaningful as I try to help her shape her identity so she can be successful and happy. And we're as close as they come. She writes me love notes on my iPhone. We hold hands wherever we go. We cuddle on the couch. We have I love you more contests every time we talk. And as strong as my relationship is with her, my relationship with her dad is a mess. And it makes me cringe to think that the two people that love her the most and the two people who she loves the most are causing her stress and anxiety. We have an order that meticulously outlines our parenting time down to the minute. There's absolutely no room for flexibility. All of our communication has to go through a portal that's built specifically for the most dysfunctional divorcees. You can't erase anything you write, and there's third-party access for therapists and litigators. It has a tone meter to let you know if you're getting a little bit nasty. I would describe the whole situation as both pathetic and intriguing. The type of fodder that would be perfect for a reality TV show, except it's not. Because it's about my daughter. And I'm her mom, and I'll do anything I can to fix it. And I have made the largest sacrifices of time and money. I found the best therapist and the best mediator. I got a court order to bind us to use those professionals. I've reached out to friends and family and tarot card readers and psychics. And I might even admit I called a radio talk show once. And that's the tip of the iceberg. For the last 7 years, I feel like I've been trapped in a crowded, hot waiting room, waiting for some sort of diagnosis. You know it's just going to go from bad to worse, and just when you're least expecting it, they pipe in Kenny G. So rewind. How did I get to this place? The separation was fairly uneventful. It certainly wasn't happy, but it wasn't particularly dramatic. I had no ill will towards my husband at the time, and I don't think he had any ill will towards me. Quite the opposite, in fact. I felt that the divorce was fair. It was mostly mediated, if not generous. I left him with our gorgeous house and most of the things in it. And I started over from scratch. I bought a home alone, and I thought I was going to do the superwoman lifestyle thing. And I did it. I single-mommed it. I had my own successful business for 5 years. And when my daughter entered kindergarten, I started a rigorous grad school program. I took 19 credits, statistics, finance, accounting, and I still got that little girl on the bus at 7 a.m. every day, fed, rested, and happy. I could do it all. I have success in so many aspects of my life, but this divorce is a barrage of sticking points, neglected agreements, ignored efforts, until I found myself all the way in divorce hell, which was fairly recent, actually. If you'd like to go on a journey with me, I'll take you there. Divorce hell is looking at your finances over the last year and realizing you've committed 6 months of pay to try to fix the situation with child support, therapy, mediation, and litigation, yet you're still forced to go before a judge to make the most basic parenting decisions. It just so happened that our hearing date was on April Fool's Day. About an hour into it, my attorney realized, and so did I, that the judge wasn't quite certain what the hearing was about. It would be fair to say that I spent five figures to get to that hearing date. My attorney was just getting over a cold, so she lost her voice and couldn't speak. His attorney was ranting like the Fuhrer. I was reviewing an affidavit describing how I parent that was over 60 pages long, single-spaced. If I had to give it a title, I would call it Ellie is the She-Devil. So at this point, a few weeks ago, I was feeling really bitter and justified in blaming other people. We have a broken court system, and we have attorneys that profit on conflict, and I do have some strong feelings about my ex. But if I talked about that, then you guys would feel ripped off because you paid for your tickets. So we have to focus on my failure. And so I started the cathartic process and uncovered a pattern and behavior of my life of doing it all, taking on too much responsibility, spreading myself too thin, picking up the slack for other people, putting the needs of others before the needs of myself. But isn't that what the essence of a mother is? And as I was reflecting, I started to realize that I wasn't alone. I look out and see women everywhere, blessed and cursed with this predisposition to be caregivers. We're all over the place. You can see us. We're running ragged, picking up the slack, doing it all. And you can physically see the evidence of our essence as it gets sucked from us as we try to take care of everybody else. We become deflated, depleted, smaller, and collapsed. Finally, you'll hear somebody make that derogatory comment, gosh, she really let herself go. But they don't finish the statement. She let herself go last because she was busy putting everyone else first. If you listened to our thoughts and got inside our head, you would hear things like, someone's got to get the kids. Someone's got to get the groceries. Someone's got to do the laundry. Someone's got to take the notes for this meeting, even though it's not my role. We are in the constant state of triage, and we lose ourselves in it, trying to hold together our families, our teams, our organizations, and the world. We don't know when to say no. So is doing everything the right thing to do? I don't know. I know it's not just my dilemma. Cleaning up other people's messes. So I think it's both appropriate and symbolic that what I got from my divorce was a Dyson. Thank you.
That was Ellie Rogers telling her story of failure. You can find out more about Failure Lab, and you can hear more stories at failure-lab.com.